What is going on, everybody? It is Toffee Blues USA back after a sabbatical, and we'll get into why. Let's get with the positive stuff right now, though. We're back, so we're doing a show. You may know me already. I am Jerry, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But also joining me today, and it's for first time to meet this fellow. I've heard of him for a while, and now I get to have a conversation with him, which is kind of awesome. It's Tony Sampson. Tony, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. Welcome back. It's good to have you back, and thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm excited. It's glad to be back. All that stuff. Tony is just to go ahead. I have to give you a little bit of intro before I get into some other stuff. Tony's a member of the Chicago Evertonians, and I just have to say this. That's like my favorite place. I didn't say it off camera because I wanted it to be a surprise when we're recording. Chicago is like my wife and I. We've gone there for our. Let's see here. Anniversary, I think it's when we went there. And we went to shows and ate all this good food. And Chicago's just an awesome place, man.
I bet you say that to everyone you have on, though, don't you?
I have not. I've said that I've enjoyed being places before. I've never said, oh, that's what a hellhole. You know, I've never done that. But honestly, frankly, of all the places in the U.S., Chicago is my favorite. That's now, have I been all of these places? I haven't been a lot of places, but I've been to Chicago and it's awesome. So yeah,
it's a great city. It's a great city. We love it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I keep telling my kids. I'm like, look, we're gonna go there. It's gonna be fun. You're gonna love it. we're gonna go to Second City. We're gonna watch some shows. It's gonna be great. So anyway, really quick, just to go ahead and paste over the weird stuff. The show was down for a while because I was down, had the COVID coronavirus. My whole family tested positive. Everybody's cool. Everybody's okay. I am back. I've been back at work for a while. Do I still have lung stuff? Yeah, it's a thing. Be careful out there, everybody. My wife is cool. My kids never showed a symptom. My kids, like, were sitting there still running 5Ks and training, you know, and going out to, like, juggle in the backyard and stuff. And they're getting their records, and I'm just sitting there wheezing, like, good job, guys. You know, but everything's cool. Everything's
That's
okay.
Good to know. Sorry yeah, to hear that. Anyway, glad that you're all pulling through and you're doing okay. Scary stuff, mate, but I'm pleased that you're on the mend.
Yeah, everything appears to be almost 100%. I brought a little asthma into it, which is why I'm not guns blazing, everything's great yet, but I'll be there at some point. So enough about that. Maybe the last word about me, the rest of the show. Tony, let's talk a little bit about Chicago Evertonians, the Chicago fan group. I know where they meet, but I'm still going to ask you, where do you guys meet up? And give us a little bit of details about the group and any other kind of important information.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we meet at AJ Hudson's, which is about 7 miles north of the city. And I found myself part of the Chicago Evertonians and there when me and the family moved out here in January 2019. So we came out here for a little spell out in the US. And one of the first things that we wanted to do when we got here was, when we were looking for property and places to live, was one of the big, most important things was, where are we going to watch the match? So football's always been a massive part of my life, thanks to my dad. So I became a Blue because of him. When we were back in the UK, we were fortunate enough to have season tickets. So me, my dad and my two lads used to sit together and watch the game, which was, you know, a brilliant moment and proud moment, because he first started taking me when I was about 5 or 6. So that's when I first sort of fell in love with Everton and everything about Everton and, you know, all the things that go with that, the history of the club and sort of being a Goodison and what have you. So football's always been a massive part of our family's life. So as I say, when we came out here, you know, the first priority for us was to find out where we could watch it. So we'd heard about Hudson's. So I'd been out here with work and managed to catch, you know, a game or so there before. But anyway, when we went in there, we were greeted by a Scouse accent. So a guy came over and said, you know, his name was Stuart. He was sort of like the head of the group at the time. So he said, come over. It's great to see you. The lads were in their Everton kit, so we obviously knew. And there was a massive Chicago Evertonians or Chicago Toffees flag sort of all over the bar as well. So the bar's run by Big Blue as well, Jamie Hale. So, you know, they're the sorts of things that make you feel instantly at home, especially when you're moving to a new city in a new country. So so that's that. And actually, it's been going for quite a while. The group, this actually, we're moving in next year into the 20th anniversary of the Chicago Evertonians.
Wow,
in some format.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's been around a really long time. So I think it first started when somebody called Diana McAnally, who'd actually studied in the UK, again, fallen in love with Everton. And as she was coming back, I think one of her tutors or professors had been involved in some of the workers' supporters clubs in the UK, and said, look, you know, you should get something going when you get back home. And she helped start then a group that was like a North American group, of which Chicago was one of the base. This season is our 20th anniversary. So we're sort of, you know, scrambling together to sort of try and think about what we can do to celebrate that properly, obviously with the COVID restrictions and everything. But yeah, it's a great little group. I think there's about 500 members sort of on the Facebook and officially, and we've got nearly 3,000 on you know, followers on Twitter. But there's normally a core of, I would say, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 that go and watch the game. It depends sort of which stage of the season, how well we're doing, obviously. You know, right now, you know, we've actually seen some new members from Colombia join us as well. You know, they've obviously been intrigued by our new signing there. So that's been great as well. You know, we've seen them sort of appearing dead early in the morning. And it's just great. It's just, you know, it's nice to be amongst Evertonians, whether they're from Scousers, you know, Scousers that have moved here like me, or whether they're, you know, American citizens that have, again, fallen in love with Everton, have been chosen by Everton. You know, it's just a great little community. You know, everyone's as passionate as everybody else. And, you know, we run, you know, little events through the year to raise money, get together. Obviously, we've been held back a little bit, obviously, by, you know, by the pandemic, but we're still trying to find ways to connect. So yeah, it's really helped me and the family sort of settle in and feel at home here in Chicago.
I mean, you're kind of getting into a community pretty darn quick when you walk into a place and you're like, oh yeah, we all love the same stuff. It's amazing. It's great.
Your conversations are
already laid out for you.
It is, you know, photographs and posters of the same heroes that I had when I was a kid. So yeah, no, it's really good. And, you know, I've found that, you know, as I've spoken to different groups across the US, you know, including where you are, Jerry, you know, it's the same strength of feeling and depth of connection. So it's really good. And it's important when you move away as well.
Yeah, I would think. So you got to one of my questions already is why you're a Blue, and beautiful story, by the way. I needed to say that. I will say that's something that you don't get as much with the American Evertonians as much yet, because a lot of us are still finding ourselves as football fans, as soccer fans, and we're still trying to figure out how, you know, how our allegiances work, where our love lies. And there's a lot of that. And so, you know, for me, I live in North Carolina, so mine was passed down, you know, it was a sport. It was basketball. And so it was Wake Forest basketball, you know, so it was a family thing. We'd go to the games, you know, together. And that's the way that happened. So, but now I know me and my boys will be going, and it's going to, you know, and so it's just an interesting, it's just a different dynamic for Americans being Everton supporters. Whereas, you know, when you're, you got your dad taking you to games, you know, it's a different world. And I would think it's interesting. Do you feel like that? I don't know. It has to be a different type of sensation when you've been living with it for that long and it's that tied to your family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure it is different, you know, and I'm fortunate enough to have obviously grown up in the city and seen that. And you know, I was sort of just old enough to appreciate it when we were winning things as well. So, you know, that was I feel really lucky to be able to sort of do that, especially given that we've gone so long up until now, obviously, without winning anything. But, you know, I think the way in which Americans embrace sport and what I've observed since I've been here, I think is one of the things that has been a really sort of interesting thing to observe. And, you know, there's been a lot of debate and discussion, hasn't there, over the years around sort of Everton sort of being very proud of, you know, the People's Club mantra and, you know, how being part of the city and, you know, the club of the city is, you know, has been part of the brand on that. And I get that, you know, obviously I do because I'm from there. But, you know, I think some of the times that's been done because we've looked over the park and seen, you know, it's been a contrast that we've been able to make because of, you know, what the other lot have been doing over the park. Right. And I think what that's meant is that it hasn't at times maybe looked to international markets or to the US to sort of really embrace and grow that. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm sure we'll get on to talk about this, Jerry, but, you know, I think that's starting to change now. I think mm-hmm. the club itself is starting to look, you know, beyond the boundaries of L4. And what I found, and, you know, I've only been here for, you know, nearly 2 years now, you know, the network of supporters clubs, Everton supporters clubs, has been building up over here for, you know, a long, long time. And you cannot accuse, you know, the thousands of Blues across the US and, like, you know, I think there's 50 supporters clubs are being glory hunters. So however they found Everton or are finding Everton, you know, that'll do for me because, you know, they've decided that it's their club. So, you know, whether you're an Evertonian, it doesn't really, you know, you're an Evertonian. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I was wearing that kit back there a couple weeks ago, and I went to my son's friend's birthday party, and a guy I'd never met before was like, "Everton, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" You know, and I had to give my long speech about, you know, Jelavich, you know, and so it happened, and there it was, and he was like, "You know, I gotta respect that." It's like, I really got to respect that, you know, and it was that weird because I've talked about it before on the show. Sometimes you get a head pat. You're like, "Oh, an Everton fan. That's good for you." You know, you're like, "I like Everton." Why? Because we haven't won that much lately. Is that why we're not a threat to your team? And it ticks me off. I'm like, "Oh, wait till we win. You won't like us anymore. All right. Just wait. I'm saying.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for
that. I'm so ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for that for years. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've also found as well, like, you know, some of the people in the Chicago group as well, you know, they've done like lots of research to mm-hmm. understand more about the history of the club, its roots, its connections with the community, you know, obviously, you know, what we've won in the past. A lot of people have been attracted to, you know, the work that we do with Everton in the community. So, you know, it's not just sort of, you know, it's been a thoughtful process for them. So, and as I've said, you know, I don't really care where you're from. You know, if you choose to support Everton, then that'll do for me. And I want to see more and more of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I'm learning more and more about. I think there's a tendency sometimes to feel like, you know, "Oh, I'm not since birth." You know, but then when I think about, like, you know what, though, I'm giving my kids that experience.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And so I'm like, you know, there's certain things I can't help, but you know what? I can brain, like I told you, I can brainwash the heck out of my kids. All right. And they, trust me, they know no red in this house. There's just a lot of rules.
Yeah. I can't see any red in the background there. So guys.
Just they're saying.
They're clearly getting a good upbringing, Jerry. That's all.
We're working on it.
Go on, mate.
So let's talk a little bit before we get into a little bit of the football. There's one other thing that I think people need to know about you, which is the fact that you are, I mentioned it earlier, you're one of the first international Evertonians to join the Everton Fans Forum. Mm-hmm. Need to talk about your role in the Everton Fans Forum because it's something that I feel like a lot of Everton supporters need to be aware of. They need to know what the forum is and specifically why it's a cool thing that you know, you're on it, essentially. This guy in Chicago is on it. So talk a little bit about that.
So the forum itself is, and again, it's been going for quite a while now, is the sort of official platform, if you like, and sort of liaison point between the fan base and the club. So it meets on a regular basis with the club to represent basically the fans' views. So there's 15 members, all volunteers, you know, from all walks of life. And as I say, you know, the job is then to make sure that, you know, fans are getting their issues taken up by the club and responding to those. So that's its prime purpose. And it's been involved in, you know, lots of issues over the years, whether that be access to tickets, you know, sort of, you know, issues around the atmosphere in the stadium, even access to the stadium. It was responsible or played a massive role in the Holy Trinity statue right outside St. Luke's Church there. So, you know, the club consults us on issues. I mean, it's been consulting us recently on things like the return to stadium plans, you know, refunds to season ticket holders through the pandemic and issues like that. So it proactively comes to us as well. So that's its role. And I got involved because sort of having been out here and sort of got quite interested in the Chicago Evertonians, and again, managed to connect with a few of the different clubs across the US. And really, to be honest with you, my eyes were opened in terms of the strength and depth of, you know, supporters and feelings, not just here, but actually, you know, in other countries as well. And then realised that there wasn't really any way in which, you know, Everton supporters in America or North America were having their views represented. So the thing came along and I decided to sort of throw my hat in the ring and, you know, was fortunate enough to get on it. So there's myself and another overseas blue, Joe O'Reilly, who chairs and has chaired the Irish Toffees for years. Yeah. And obviously he brings another slightly different perspective because his group travel over, travel over the water, you know, for every home game. So although he's an overseas blue, again, he's got a different experience of watching Everton like you have here and people in the city. So as I was sort of trying to get elected, you know, I was hearing lots of feedback around, you know, some of the frustrations from, you know, some of the American blues and other blues about maybe not having a voice and, you know, not being able to get an Everton shirt in the stores and things like that. So I thought, okay, well, I'll have a go at this and throw my hat in the ring and sort of here we are. So we formed a little international sort of working group that sort of specifically is focused on the overseas Evertonians. We did a survey earlier on this year to get their views and we've taken that back to the club. And now we're working with them to, you know, to sort of try and build out the issues for international blues and the engagement support, you know, support for the club. So it's good. It's great fun. I really enjoy it. And it sort of, you know, helps sort of stay connected to Everton as well, which obviously is important to me, as I've explained. So it's good fun.
No, that staying connected to Everton, that's actually one of the reasons why I did the show in the first place. You know, it was like, you know, the idea of being able to just connecting with other Evertonians at the first. So having that as an extra way of doing it, and to feel like you're not only you're representing, other people's views, other people's opinions, things that, you know, stuff that people hold darn important to them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, that's, you're doing some awesome stuff, man. I'm excited, that I'm, you know, I'm getting to talk to you and ask you all these questions. I'm just like, oh my God. So I guess, I mean, I'm learning a ton about this, to be frank. We do have to move on though, 'cause I just realized I was like, oh my gosh, it's being a long time. So, last question before we move on.
Yep.
I prompted you about this before we started. So if everybody who watches this show has probably listened to podcasts or watched other shows, and you know, Tony's getting interviewed. He's the guest of the moment. All right. And so a lot of people are, just saying you're around. All right. And so I wanted to ask him one question. What do you wish out of all these interviews and everything and everybody, what do you wish you'd been asked? What's a question you wish someone had asked you?
What do I wish I'd been asked? I don't think anybody's asked who my favorite player is.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I might have just sort of blurted it out, but I don't think anybody, you know, we sort of, why do you support Everton and your dad and all the rest of it? But I don't think anyone's asked me, you know, who my favorite all-time player.
Okay.
So
exclusive. Just say it. Tony's all-time favorite Everton player. What do you got?
Graham Sharp. So Graham Sharp, when I was growing up, for me was just, I mean, he and still is. I mean, I've had plenty of others that have come close to it. But for me, he was a brilliant player. I think probably underrated as well. But he was the person that I sort of pretended to be in the playground. And I'll tell you a story. I they didn't used to have numbers on the back of shirts in when I was a bit younger. It wasn't a thing. They didn't even have names on there. But I remember the old Hafnia kit with the Umbro diamonds down the side, and I used to play in front of our house, you know, pretending I was him. And my mum ripped up an old vest of mine and cut out a number 9. And then sewed it onto this replica shirt, you know, so I could, you know, sort of live my dreams of being Graeme Sharp in the garden in front of the house and what have you. And she washed it and it went pink in the wash.
Oh.
So here was I trying to, you know, relive some of his greatest goals with a pink number 9 on the back of my shirt. So, you know, it was good. But yeah, no, Graeme Sharp for me as well. You know, he just had everything for me, you know, his ability in the air. He scored fantastic goals. Sometimes at the best of maybe scoring easier tap-ins. You know, his control was superb. He used to hang in the air for headers before they came. You know, he could get stuck in. He was prepared to mix it. He hated Liverpool as well. You could see that when he played. Graeme Sharp was my hero.
So if I'm talking to my kids about Graeme Sharp, okay, and I'm going to compare him to a modern day player, who are you comparing him to?
That's a very, very good question. It's a very good question. I don't know. I mean, I see elements of DCL, the way he hangs in the air for his headers in the way that Sharp used to do. He almost used to sort of look as though they jumped up, you know, sort of a few minutes earlier than before,
yeah,
you know, the defenders. So I can see elements of that there. So yeah, I think it's a hard one to compare. I think when you've got somebody that's so, you know, you put on a pedestal so much, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to have somebody come and knock them off, I think.
I believe it.
I'll swerve that question.
Well, you gave a half answer, to be fair. All right. So, yes, exclusive. Graeme. Yeah. All right. So, part one of Toffee Blues USA is over. Tossing this card. There we go. All right. On to part two. Let's do a short season roundup, because we haven't been on the air. We haven't come on and done anything since we've been, when all this excitement has been happening. Everton actually looks really strong right now. It's really fun to watch. And it is an absolute shame that I'm sick, so we can't be talking about this when it's actually happening. So we've had wins over Spurs, Salford, and West Brom. So considering the different squads with cup wins versus league wins, would you analyze those differently? You know, considering the fact that maybe we're taking slightly different approach to the cup than we are in the league. Would you see that differently, or are you finding trends throughout?
Well, I mean, I think he obviously made big changes, didn't he, for the Salford game? I think he made 10 changes, didn't he?
So many.
You know, to obviously to sort of deal that. I mean, we'd had obviously the three new players had only just come into the squad before the Spurs game, so I'm sure he wouldn't want to expose there. But actually, if you looked at the team that played against Salford, you know, there was some very recognisable names in there, wasn't there? You know, it wasn't as though it was a weak team per se. Obviously, it might have had some of those players that hadn't really performed sort of in the last couple of seasons, but it was still on paper sort of a decently strong squad. So, but I mean, what a start to the season.
Yeah.
Three wins, three games. There's loads of positivity bubbling around sort of Everton at the moment, which is just, it's just great. And I think, you know, seeing them against Spurs and the sort of the, you know, the fluency of the way they played, and you know, the way that those three, you know, Hammers, Doucouré and Alan sort of settled in, it looked as though they'd been there, you know, building there for years. So I think, to be honest with you, I think the way in which they took to that game, you know, sort of surprised them. And I think for me, it's not just sort of getting the wins, which obviously is important, but you know, even the Salford game, you know, we've lost games like that to lower league clubs in the cup, you know, in previous seasons, you know, and they did a professional job. You know, maybe it wasn't the strongest performance. We didn't batter them 6-7, but, you know, we did a professional job. And then again, against West Brom, you know, we responded to going a goal down and we showed that character. Yes, they had sort of 10 men. But, you know, we responded again, you know, we obviously, you know, we took the lead and then we went on to sort of finish the job. And again, that's something that we just haven't seen from an Everton side for, you know, for a long, long time. And, you know, that, you know, obviously Carlo's got to take a lot of the credit for that. So, I just think it's important now that we keep that momentum. You know, obviously we've got Fleetwood tomorrow, and that'll be another different test. I think, you know, Joey Barton, if you look at what he was like when he was a player, you know, was somebody that, you know, put himself about, and I'm sure he'll demand that from his team. So I expect it'll be quite a testy sort of physical match. And again, you know, he's bound to make changes. So that's fine. But, you know, look, we're overdue any sort of cup win. So I'm just pleased that, you know, Carlo's taking it seriously, because I think, you know, getting a win, even in the Carabao Cup, will be a massive lift for the club. So I hope that we can keep that moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like a lot of the headlines were talking about how we made such hard work with Salford, but if you look at the stats, we peppered them with shots. We had a lot of shots. I mean, how many times did we hit either the post or the woodwork? Yeah. I mean, it was just several times, like in the last like 10 minutes. It was just, you know, and the progress that Anthony Gordon is showing is so encouraging, man.
I completely agree. He just seems very settled, and he's comfortable with the ball. His movement is really impressive, I think. And I was really disappointed he didn't manage to get on the score sheet. And he seems quite a composed and grounded individual as well, you know, and quite focused. Funnily enough, we were lucky enough to do a quick interview with him, with the fans for him. And nice. He was just, you know, it was like he was sort of way beyond his years. So you can see that he seems to have, you know, all the right ingredients. So, yeah, let's hopefully he plays tomorrow. I'm sure he will, and can maybe get a goal or two.
I think you mentioned to me the biggest surprise, which is the chemistry. New players coming in, and you're seeing a lot of positive connections, you know, and we're going to be talking about the signings in our next section. So I hesitate to get too deep into it. That's been my biggest surprise, and it's been pleasant to see how they've just slotted in and, you know, look so comfortable. And they brought such a confidence and a hard nosed, like, you know, we're here to get this done kind of a mentality. What do you think? I want to just say it right now. I'm super positive right now, but based on our play, are there any potential pitfalls you see moving forward at all? Are you just sitting here thinking we stay healthy, it's going to be all right?
I mean, I think you've probably touched on it there about if we stay healthy. You know, I think there is a depth to the squad. Obviously, I don't think they're like-for-like replacements. But, you know, if you think about centre-back, for example, that's something where I think, you know, is a position where we are clearly vulnerable. Obviously, with, you know, I think Holgate's out for another 8 weeks, and Branthwaite got injured as well. So he's going to be out for a while. So we clearly, and we've just let Gibson go to Reading today. Yeah. So that for me is an area where, you know, I think, you know, and I hope that, you know, we've got a plan to sort of maybe bring a little bit of cover in there, because I don't think that sort of relying on Mina and Keane is going to be decent. So we've got to plug the gaps there as well. I think right back as well is another area, although Seamus, I think, has started really well.
He has.
You know, and it's been great to see. It was great to see him having a go at Kieran Gibbs as well at the weekend.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know if the video of that was circulated by our friend Clay in Nashville, the Nashville Evertonians. He clipped that and sent it around. He was texting me last night to say it had over 1 million views. So,
That's great.
I think they're the obvious areas. I'm not sure we've got the sort of either, you know, the right cover in those places. So hopefully there's a plan to maybe, you know, bring a bit of cover in.
Yeah, before the window shuts, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so because that's my big concern right there is getting thin. And one would think if we let Gibson go, because I actually like the look of Gibson, I think he's a bright young player, and I was expecting him to be with the first team this season. Yeah. And I was a little surprised he wasn't. But my guess is they think he's not quite ready. Maybe he's not quite consistent enough in training, something like that. And they just want to bring in one more sure-footed center back. One would think if we're letting him go, we got one lined up. That seems to be the type of mentality that we take now. We'll see, right?
Yeah. Well, I think based on the last few we brought in, I think we need to trust Carlo and Marcel there, don't we?
I'm very okay with that. All right. So speaking of trusting those fellows, let's talk signings. We've made four signings. We tend to focus on three of them because three of them are starting in our league games, but one of them has been getting a little bit of additional run. And I just need to address the fact that Nkunku looks really, really good.
Yeah.
And I am so psyched because it seems like we're not going to have to sign an additional left back.
Yeah. Yeah. He got rave reviews, didn't he, for his, for his performance against Salford. Great to see. And it looked as though, he's obviously been at the club a little bit longer over the summer. He was signed earlier. But very settled, very confident on the ball, very comfortable on the ball. His positional play was strong. So, and obviously with Bainesy retiring at the end of last season, having a bit of cover and a bit of challenge for Luca Dean is going to be important. And I think that's what's been interesting about the transfer strategy so far is that we've injected a little bit of competition in the squad. And I think one of the accusations over the years is we just haven't had that. So we've had players coming in at the end of their careers, maybe not with that much burning ambition to play for Everton, and they're comfortable with that. But now we've got a little bit of competition in most places across the pitch. So hopefully that will act as a catalyst for some to kick on. And of course, we still need to get a few out the door.
Yeah, and I'm assuming some of those will be happening really soon, especially when they're talking about Tom Davies potentially heading to Southampton on loan. Just a lot of the rumors are starting to trickle out now that the window is slowly closing. Nkunku has been a nice surprise, and we talked about the three starters that have come in and just gelled really well with the rest of the team. Got to immediately jump to James Rodriguez. I'm not sure if anybody completely knew exactly how he was going to be utilized. It's still been a surprise, but at the same time, when I watch him play, the plays he's made, I'm like, yeah, that's what I expected him to bring. It's really odd. It's been this mix of like, what? Yeah, you know what I mean. How nice has it been for you to watch James play?
It's been brilliant. And I must admit, I didn't appreciate the sort of the guile and actually the class that he had. I mean, obviously, was very aware of his reputation after the World Cup a few years ago. But, again, that was a while ago. And again, if you look at his stats, I think, he has performed well, at his other clubs. But, I'd never seen him really, really close up. So it's, watching him play football. I mean, those two passes that have been on repeat against West Brom, that through ball to Dean as he was running down the left, and that sort of little scoop pass into Richarlison before he knocked it over for Calvert-Lewin. I mean, it was just pure class. And then obviously, his finish. And some of those sort of balls that he was pinging across the park, against Spurs. And again, it just looks so effortless. And his ability to spot the space, see the runners and be sort of, a game ahead was, I must admit, I've been really surprised. I was probably more excited at the prospect of Alan, to be honest with you, just because I felt that was something that we'd really missed over a number of years, that a little bit of grit, somebody with a bit of energy in midfield, but also, I think, was had a little bit more than Ganna in terms of his passing ability. But that was the one I was really sort of looking for because it's been so absent, and sort of, Hammers was a bit of a bonus, but I have to say I've been completely bowled over. I'm a massive fan already, so hopefully if we can keep him fit, and as you say, maybe it's on the right or wherever, cutting in, then we can continue to surprise people. And again, he's obviously a bit of an unknown quantity as well in the Premier League at the moment, so. Very, 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 very exciting. I hear what you said, it's three games in, let's not get too carried away, but it's just really nice to be positive about Everton after.
I want to get carried away. I just want to tell you, please let me get carried away. I'm so ready, man. Cause I mean, just to say it, and it's super cringy, which is why I would never post the videos. My family is singing at the end of games now because we're winning them and we're singing, and it's so super cringy to everyone else. But to us, it's just like, oh, this is awesome. our team is winning. Oh my God. You know? And it's, and my, I'm telling you, like, my kids were already, before we signed James Rodriguez, we already would watch like compilation videos of him, you know, because my kids like watching those on YouTube. We were already, my kids got a James Colombia kit. Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. They loved him already. So then, like, in, I think it was February, March, I heard a rumor and I was like, Bennett, you know, because James played with Ancelotti, there's a rumor that he's going to come to us. And like clockwork, Tony, every week he asked me, what's the deal with Ancelotti and James? Okay, he's 8. All right. And he's just, well, what's going on with James and Ancelotti? It's every week. And then finally, all of a sudden, it went away for like the longest time. I was like, look, man, I don't think it's going to happen. He kept asking. And all of a sudden, bam. And I was like, little guy, you were right. And I was wrong to doubt you.
Well, you'll have to keep us posted on who we're getting in next.
You know what I mean?
It's a way of seeing into the future. So keep going. Because if we're bringing in people like that, then I think we'll all be happy for it. Yeah. No, look, it is the positivity around the play. I mean, on social media, you know, and all the, you know, the great pods that people do, the supporters clubs, you know, like we've got a little community within the US supporters group leads, you know, people are bouncing off each other. It's just really good. Cause I think we got stuck into a rut. So it's nice to sort of move beyond that whole Everton that syndrome and have a bit of positivity. So let's hope we can keep building it.
Yeah. Somebody you mentioned earlier was Alan. I think with Alan, I look at him and I see someone who has decided to take ownership. Someone who has said, I am going to own the middle. I'm going to own this space. It is mine. It's very Braveheart. It's my island. I own it. You know, it's his space. And I love the fact that it's somebody who's not passing the buck. It's not someone who's like, no, you can get, no, you know, Alan's just like, no, this is me. All right. And if you come in here, be ready, you know, and he's not just talking to the other team. He's talking to his teammates.
Completely. And we've missed it, haven't we? We haven't had that for, you know, for a while. There's a great clip, actually, in the Spurs game where Sigurdsson's out on the left wing, I think, near the edge of the box. Have you seen it? And he goes to close down in true Siggy style, you know, maybe with a, you know, pointing here and there and sort of standing off a little bit without doing much. And Alan just follows him all the way, almost as though to say, you're not going to do anything here, so I'll sort this out. And he does, you know, wins the ball back. So you're right. And the responsibility, that's it. We haven't had any for, you know, for a while, have we, or any sort of real character and leadership. So I think you're right. You know, I think Alan definitely brings that, as does actually Rodriguez and Doucouré. So, you know, hopefully others can respond to that. And have you read Ancelotti's? Have you read Carlo's Quiet Leadership book?
Okay, I have it.
Okay.
And I've not read it because I forgot that I got it, and you just reminded me that I need to. No, I sat there like somebody was like, "Oh, I've got all these great books. You want these books?" You know, and I was just like, "Sure." And Carlo, that was on, and so I have it. I'm so glad you reminded me. That's awesome.
There you
continue,
go.
Continue with your thought. I'm sorry. It was just lightning into my brain. It's
obviously, you know, it sort of, you know, it delves into his philosophy there, but you know, there's a lot in there around his style of leadership and how he trusts his players.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a great example, I think, before an FA Cup final with Chelsea, where, you know, he basically sort of, you know, opens out to the team and says, okay, what's the game plan, and goes with that because he trusts the players. So, you know, if he's showing that much trust in, you know, in his players, then, you know, you'd like to think they're gonna want to sort of, you know, win for him and do whatever they can. And again, I'm not sure we've had that for, you know, for a long time at the club. So you know, let's hope that again that continues, because I think having somebody like him where the players respond. Seamus talked about it this week as well, didn't he? About, you know, you know, we listen. If he speaks, you know, we listen, because he's been there and done it. So, you know, and he hasn't been here long. You know, people forget that with the pandemic and, you know, the stop start season and what have you. You know, people forget, you know, he's only, when did he come? November, December? So, you know, he's not had long to get to grips with the club.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm. That's one of the things I wish I want. I want to do more Carlo research.
There you go.
You know, I genuinely, like, I want to do it in my spare time, and then I want to sit there and teach classes to my kids on Carlo. Like, I feel like it's that important. So last signing we need to get to, and I was telling a friend of mine about Decore, actually, and I totally stole Terry McAllister from Toffee Blues,
who
comes on our show a lot. God, I love Terry. Haven't seen him in a long time because I haven't been on the show in so long. But yeah, so Terry in our little Toffee Blues group chat was talking about Decore. He said, I heard it him compared to like the older brother who's playing with the younger brother's friends and never letting anybody else get the ball. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. I showed my kids videos of Decore and I was like, this guy we just signed, watch this. And he's literally just crashing through. He's winning everything. He's literally, he's almost like an octopus. He's everywhere. Yeah. And I remember like Bennett was playing in a scrimmage game the other day at training and he's playing against his older team and he wasn't really into it like he normally is. And I was like, Hey, Bennett, Decore, play like Decore. And it changed on a dime and it was amazing. All of a sudden he's crashing through. He's going into the tackle. And I was like, that's yes. And it, yeah. So Decore has become synonymous with going strong into the tackle now. I love it, man. He's a space eater and he's just really positive, good energy. He seems really happy to be here too.
Yeah, completely. Well, and again, if you look at some of the people that we've had there, some of the players we've had there previously and some that have left, you know, people like Schneiderlin, I mean, it's quite, I know they've sort of performed different roles, but it's, you know, it's quite a step up, isn't it, from what we've had. And I think, again, the combination of the three playing together, I think it surprised us all. Maybe, well, certainly surprised me that all three of them were going to start against Spurs. Yeah. But he's clearly got a plan there, Carlo, to blend, you know, what they all bring to the team. So, as I keep saying, long may it continue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, and who knows? The funny thing is, normally this is already a really good window. And you know, I'm trying not to get all greedy, be like, oh, I want one of those, you know. But right now, it's like, this is really good so far, you know. I know we still need, but still, this is, it's so encouraging, and the prices, I just want to point that out. The combined price of these guys is staggeringly low. And there's a reason. Oh, that's what I forgot. I normally have a picture of Marcel Bronze up there, and I don't know where it is. It got taken. Somebody took down my Marcel Bronze picture. It'll be up there next time. All right. I had like a shrine.
He wasn't moving early enough in the transfer window. Is that what it was? So he ripped him down.
It wasn't me. I think it was my wife actually. So she was like, "Not enough." Bam. So. So anyway, just a little respect to Marcel Bronze on the price and bringing these people in. I realize Ancelotti was the draw for at least two of them, but the price was really good. Just saying. So yeah. Anyway,
well, he's getting a bit of stick. So again, it's nice to see them. Nice to see them coming through.
Yeah. So we will move on past the signings. Whoa, that was an oddly on target toss. There we go. That's better. So next. Let's quickly go through previews. We've got Fleetwood in the cup, and then we've got Palace. Get a little bit more detail with Palace. Fleetwood, to be frank, I've done a little bit of research, but I haven't watched them a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them a lot.
I don't know much about Fleetwood. I don't know much about Palace, to be honest with you. But, as I said earlier, I think, Joey Barton sort of brings his own imprint, doesn't he? I think he'll be. I expect a very physical game against Fleetwood, and they'll be up for it. He's a blue, obviously.
Yeah.
I heard him talking today in the press around.
Me too.
One of his kids has sort of, you know, been teetering on the edge with the other lot. So hopefully we can bring them back from the brink. But yeah, no, I think he'll be up for it. He'll just demand 100% from his group. So I think we're gonna have to be on it tomorrow. And these are the games where we've maybe tripped up in the past. So, but again, hopefully, I wonder whether I still think there'll be a load of changes, but I wonder whether he might not make as many changes as he did for the game against Salford.
So I want to get to that. The only research I have done, Fleetwood 10th in the league, right? League One, right? They They beat Burton, and I think they lost to Peterborough. And they defeated they beat Port Vale in the last round. Yeah. And so starters, just go ahead and give a quick run of who you think is going to start, and then we'll move on to Palace.
For Everton, you mean, or for Fleetwood?
Yes. Oh, I'm definitely not versed enough in Fleetwood to give it, you know, no disrespect to Fleetwood. So who do you think is going to start it for us tomorrow, actually?
I think he might probably start with a very similar team to the one that he did against who did we play? Salford the previous week. So I expect Gordon to get another run out for sure. Yeah. And Cuckoo as well, as you said. I don't think we've got any choice at centre-back. So I think it looks like it's going to be, you know, Mina and Keane there. I suspect they'll bring Jonjo in, if Jonjo hasn't left, you know, along the back there. And then I think the rest of it will probably be largely unchanged from Salford. So, you know, we'll see if they can continue to do that. I wonder whether he might give people like, you know, Bolasie another little bit of a run out, just to sort of see if they respond. But who knows?
Tom Davies, if he's off, who plugs in? Do you think it's a Decore role, or is it an Alan role, or is it someone else, or is it a formation shift?
Yeah, maybe Decore, actually. That could be one of the changes that you could see, just to maybe sort of bring that little bit of grit in there as well. I mean, I think Alan's been in Italy as well this week, hasn't he?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had like the goodbye party or something.
Yeah, I saw him celebrating with his in a non-socially distancing way. So maybe he's going to give him a rest as well. So maybe Decore might come in there as well if Tom's sort of down on the south coast speaking to Southampton.
I think I'll be curious if he gives Cuckoo a start. Does he give Dean a rest? And if he doesn't, does he throw Luca Dean in at center back the way he did in an emergency situation? I thought that was more of an emergency situation, you know, but I just wasn't sure.
I don't know. I suppose then it just exposes Dean a little bit then as well, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sure, you know, he's played there before and he can do a job there, but I don't know, having somebody go in there and play out of position in a game, you know, you don't want to risk sort of, you know, your first choice left back playing out of position in a game like that. So I suspect he'll leave Dean out and go with Nkunku.
Yeah, I hope we've got Keane and Mina as a center back pairing, because I want them to develop a little bit more confidence. Last match, I didn't think Mina looked strong. It was one of the weaker performances I've seen Yerry Mina put in, which is, you know, and I love Yerry Mina, just saying. But, you know, there was a few moments where I was just thinking, this is not your day. It just seemed like he wasn't mentally sharp that day. You know, concentration off.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's been sort of widely reported. I don't think it is best game. So look, and the more they play together, the more that they're gonna build that understanding. So, but yeah, I think they'll probably both start tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so fingers crossed, Blues actually show up and play. Actually, don't fall into that trap, the cup trap. Don't want to deal with the cup trap. Just saying.
Take each game as it comes.
Oh yeah. So let's talk Palace. Currently in, I would like to say, fourth, because that bumps Self-Awareness FC into fifth. I keep stealing. I think it's Terry's Self-Awareness FC. But they're in own goal diff. They've got 6 points. They've got 2 wins. 1-0 over Southampton. 3-1 over United. They lost to Bournemouth in the cup. I think in penalties, maybe. It was 0-0. So, they're playing well. All right. Yep. United are not an easy club to play against right now. They're not easy, and they looked solid. They did not. It was not a lucky 3-1 win. The stats were, you know, although possession was not in their favor, shots were more even than one would think.
Yeah.
It's an exciting team. Palace, I think, it needs to be respected. Just saying. So, I mean, you're shrugging like you agree. So that's
I think, well, look, they've started well, haven't they? So, you know, they've obviously got, you know, the wind beneath the sails there. So, you know, they'll definitely think that, you know, they can do something. And, you know, you've had this sort of on-off saga, haven't they, with Zahar? Is he staying? Is he going? Is he moving on there? I think Hodgson made him captain, didn't he, at the weekend to sort of maybe try and, you know, send a signal there. So, you know, but yeah, you know, I think any game in the Premiership is, you know, you can't take it for granted. But these are the types of moments, I think, that you sort of think a real test for Everton. You know, we've been here before. Remember last season, it was like we beat Villa on Friday and we go top. And then it sort of, you know, unraveled dramatically. So I think it's these points where, you know, we feel as though we should win and, you know, maybe, you know, and could win, you know, where we will really test whether, you know, the character and the, you know, the unity that the team is going to get us through. So again, hopefully we'll do that, but let's get past Fleetwood first, eh?
Yeah, definitely. One thing at a time, I would think. Yeah, but this is one I'm going to be trying not to look past Fleetwood. Because that's the cup trap. Okay. I've just talked myself not looking past. Okay, gotcha.
There you go.
So starters, possible starters for Palace, Guaita, like it's just awesome name to say. Guaita. Oh, love it. Sako, Kouyaté, Mitchell, Ward, McCarthy, MacArthur, that tandem together. Yeah. Then you'll either have Schlupp or their new signing who looks so slick. Is it Eze? Oh my gosh.
Great.
The guy's so good. He's so fun to watch. My kids have been watching videos on him too. That guy's stunningly good. Townsend, Zaha, and Ayew. Probably see Milivojevic come in, Batshuayi. I mean, they have talent. They have some good players.
Yeah, and I think he's had a stable group of players there for a couple of seasons now, hasn't he? More or less, you know, there's a lot of those have been with him, so you know they'll be used to him. So they, as you say, you know, they've got the new lads, and they've got, you know, Zahar is always a threat. So you know how we contain that's going to be, you know, is going to be important to getting a result, I think.
So can we just agree we both think that the team will be unchanged from the previous week, assuming there's no injuries for any reason?
I think so, and I hope so. That's, you know, he's obviously, you know, two different games in Spurs and West Brom, and he started there. Mm-hmm. And again, I think, you know, momentum's a big thing, isn't it, in football? So, again, getting the new boys to sort of continue to sit within the system that they're playing and build that momentum and trust each other, I think is going to be important. So I think, yeah, I think he'll go for an unchanged team.
And you know,
I'm not a master tactician. It's not my forte. So I'm a bit of a purist in that respect. You know, my dad always used to say, you know, don't change your winning team, son. Just, you know, just keep the momentum building. So that's what I'm going to stick with for Palace.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you on pretty much everything you said, including me not being a master tactician either. So score prediction before we move on?
For tomorrow or for Palace?
Okay. I'm not touching the cup prediction. I'm not touching the cup trap for Palace, okay? I don't want to mess with Fleetwood.
I'm going to go for 1-1 against Palace.
Why? Why does everybody say the exact same score I was about to say? It's
really
amazing. Yes, yes.
There you
1-1.
Go.
Yeah, jeez, yeah. Odd, super not exciting. We should have talked about this ahead of time. All right, so there's your match previews. Last little bit, we'll call this the extra bits. Let's talk a little bit about, and we'll try to get through this quickly as we've taken a lot of Tony's time this evening. James Rodriguez, international impact, pretty immense. Just solely considering social media impact, I mean, the amount of followers he has is staggering. And I had no idea that he was like the fourth most followed footballer.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. And that player plays for us now. And he's doing, and he looks great. Bringing in not only Colombians, right? it's tapping into a much wider world base. And South Americans and other countries that just find the hummus to be just really amazing just to watch, right? Yeah. Thought it was really rad. The Times Square. That was so cool. And then Spurs was like, oh, you did it, so let's do it too.
Yeah, I saw that today, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's always a good sign, isn't it, when people start following what you're doing?
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But my buddies who are Spurs fans, I'm just like, man. It was funny. My boss, who's a friend of mine, is like a Spurs fan. And I walked in one day and he was like, oh, you guys signed Hamas, man. It's like, you guys just always sign the washed up players.
But he's not saying that now, eh?
Quarter of the way into the game, I get a text that says, oh my God. You know, and the guy's he's an avid football supporter, so he's probably just busting my chops. But still, I don't think he realized Hamas was going to be that, like that. I mean, it's pretty, what are the kind of things that, kind of an international impact like this worldwide, what's the kind of thing that this could actually do for Everton? Like what could change, I guess, is a real question, because I haven't actually thought about it.
Yeah. Well, I think the potential is massive. And I'm obviously very interested in this, because some of the work that we do with the Fans Forum is, you know, we've heard that maybe Everton hasn't really exploited or maximised the opportunity, you know, to expand in specifically the US, but in other markets. So, you know, and if you're looking, you know, whether it's in sport or business or anything else, I think if you're looking to expand, you've got to have something that people are going to be interested in for you to enable to do that. And obviously in football, the first thing is you've got to have a successful team, or, you know, that helps because that builds your notoriety and your brand and your awareness, and obviously the players and the resources and the money that go with that. And again, we haven't had that for some time, and hopefully that's going to change with Carlo. I think the second thing in football, if you haven't got that, is, you know, something or somebody that has got that appeal that is going to draw people in. And clearly, you know, we've got that, haven't we, with James, you know, just based on his sort of social, you know, media sort of pulling. And like, just a very practical example of that in Chicago, we've had 10 new members join the group since the start of the season. You know, Colombians, you know, so Dio, Monica, Paula, there's a big group of them, you know, and they were even there at like for the 6:30 a.m. kickoff against West Brom. So, you know, they're showing that they, you know, the pull of this, and that's obviously on a very sort of micro level. You know, and then the other thing it does is it allows you to think about the other areas where you can really accelerate your expansion plans by looking at the types of partnerships that you can bring in. So, you know, I think the ingredients are all there now for Everton to really maximise that. I mean, I think that the club's been criticised in the past years about, you know, not doing enough with the likes of Tim Howard and Landon Donovan and Brian McBride, who's a Chicago Evertonian, by the way. He helped us out with a fundraiser last year. But, you know, that we haven't maximised that opportunity. And I think the criticism's sort of been fair, but, you know, the conditions were different. And now, you know, we've sort of, you know, we're in this position. I think there's a real chance to sort of accelerate, you know, the plans that the club's got. It's already been doing stuff internationally. So it's got this affiliate, international affiliate club scheme. So it's partnered with two or three clubs around the US and Australia, actually, to, you know, build brand awareness, sort of, you know, do stuff within the sort of local soccer communities with the youth communities and do training with clubs there. It was doing that. It did this online friendly. I don't know if you saw that with Inter Miami. It was actually due to be out here this summer. So Everton would have been doing a US tour if the pandemic sort of hadn't have come along. So the club had already signaled its intentions, but what it does now is it really allows them to sort of accelerate those plans. And I think, you know, you've got to give the club credit for the way in which you got ahead of the Hammers announcement, you know, the Times Square stuff, you know, the billboard on the boat on Miami Beach,
Miami.
You know, the building in Bogota, You know, they're the types of things that really sort of set, you know, set the stall out. And I was really excited. I think everyone was. So it's announced that it wants to open an office in the US as well.
I was going to ask about that. How does that work? Because immediately I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, hold on. How do I tell my kids what this means?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's great that they've decided that there needs to be a sort of physical base here, because obviously you will know, having people that understand the market that you're trying to capitalize and expand into is really important, you know, combined with obviously, you know, what Everton brings in terms of brand. So my understanding is that it's primarily going to be a sort of marketing and sort of sales outlet. I think they're going to be using that to develop, you know, some of the distribution models they've got from a merchandising perspective. I think it also maybe helps some of the existing network of supporters clubs and build that engagement, and then obviously also I assume sort of try and establish some broader and longer term partnerships as well. So that's the plan. And I think they want to get a blend of understanding of how the markets work here and how to capitalize on that with, you know, people that know what Everton's all about. Because again, I think the combination of all the things we just talked about James and the reach and, you know, the notoriety and the social media opportunities and the partnership opportunities with, you know, this unique club. And obviously we would say this because we're Evertonians, but the brand, the history of the club, what we stand for, the work that we do beyond just sort of on the pitch and off the field, I think, you know, there's potentially quite a powerful combination there. So fair play. I think they've made, you know, they've really, really been ambitious in what they've got to do. So I think the important thing now is two things from my perspective is, one, it materializes, and the opportunity is realized. And secondly, the network of supporters, particularly in the USA here, that, as I say, have built up over here for years and years, that they're involved in sort of this part of it as well, because, you know, they've sort of stood by, by the club through thick and thin. So helping them to grow and generate new members and, is going to be important. So again, that's what I've been talking to the club with. We met with them a few weeks ago, the fans forum, to talk through what their plans were for the international supporters clubs, and the recommendations that we made from our survey earlier on in the year, they've taken, you know, seriously, and they're taken on board. So, we hope that those plans come to fruition. So look, it's exciting times, really exciting times. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to just building the community, Jerry. You know, it's that's what's been great, you know, when you're sort of not in the city and, you know, just seeing the community come together and grow. You're seeing it on social media, helped by the positive results, of course. But there's nothing better just seeing Evertonians come together, and sort of, as I say, not just being positive, but, you know, connecting with each other, sharing stories, you know, like you're doing, and, you know, some of the other sort of, fan media groups, and building that network is brilliant, because everyone's got their Everton story. And what we've got to do now is make sure we go and find the Evertonians of the future.
That's wonderful. I think one of the things you said there was actually going to be my question. It's a really good sum up when you said, is just building the community. It's what it's like. That's my undercurrent. What I'm understanding from you here is that it's all about, you know, kind of sharing Everton and finding people who already share Everton with you, and just kind of making those connections and kind of making it more worldwide. People are already there, but it's also kind of making sure, like, people understand what the club is about and giving them the opportunity, giving Everton the visibility to be able to be found as well.
Yeah.
You know, from some of these people who were like me years ago.
Absolutely.
Didn't have a club, didn't know, but just sat there and said, I love this. And I want to care. I want this to mean more than just a passing fancy. I want this to be something I share with my family, something I share with my friends, something I, you know, developing the community right there. Yeah. So,
and everyone's got it, as you say. You know, I mean, you've had Cameron from the Carolina Toffees, and, you know, on your show, you know, yeah, it's the same vein. I mean, speaking to John Dushak at the DC Toffees yesterday. You know, he's got loads of great ideas about how to build a connection. Clay in Nashville, you know, Rich in Philadelphia. You know, the Blues are everywhere. So the more that we can do to keep connecting, you know, even in the group that we've sort of brought together of the supporters group leads, you know, they're bouncing ideas off each other around what's the best way to bring new members in, how can they engage some of the younger Evertonians, you know, what are the best benefits they can offer as, you know, with being part of a supporters group. So I think we've got to embrace that and as you say, keep connecting and building this great thing that's Everton.
Yeah, that's just beautiful, and I'm not gonna follow that up. That was just that's a hell of a wrap up line. So, let's go ahead and wrap up then, because Tony's just like a poet. it's beautiful. I want to go ahead and say, you know, thanks very much to Tony for coming on. Tony, it's nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you. It's exciting. You know, I see you all over Twitter. And, you know, for everybody's just like, hey, spread the word. Spread the word about Tony. Let's get him on the forum. Let's do this. You know, and so, and now I'm, yeah, talking to you. It's really cool. So thanks so much for your time. Really, really appreciate everything you do.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's really nice to meet you, and keep doing what you do as well. I think it's important that, you know, we can get the word out. So so keep going, and thanks again for having me on. It's been really nice to catch up with you, Jerry, and hope the family continues to recover.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I feel spoiled getting to do this, because this is just connecting with Blues and talking Everton. It's just, you know, feel a little spoiled at times. So thanks so much, buddy. So to everybody else out there, thanks so much for watching / listening to Toffee Blues USA. If you can check out, I want to make sure really quick before I go, I do want to plug Tony's Everton at Everton Chicago, the Chicago Evertonians. Keep an eye on that. Anyone in that area, people drive in from all over to be a part of that group. So please, anything else that I should be mentioning for you, Tony?
Yeah, I think the only other thing is the fans forum as well. So EFC fans forum on Twitter and the usual sort of Facebook and other channels. So yeah, check us out. And if anyone's got any questions or anything or ideas, then, you know, DM us, or, you know, just get in touch. Our ears are open.
Yes. There you go. So pay attention, get with that. Cause I mean, this is just good work. This is just good work for Everton all over. So, last thing, I got to do the typical plugging, follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if for some reason, if it's getting close to Christmas, you want a children's book for your kid, Randolph the Christmas Moose, conceived on the Toffee Blues podcast by total accident. That's explained in other episodes. So anyway, there it is. That's a book I wrote. Yeah, it's a silly thing. Anyway, for everybody else out there, thanks so much. Much love. Blues, keep it going. Keep it rolling. Tony, take care, buddy. Have a good one.
You too, mate. Cheers, Terry.
All right. And bye, everybody.